great to have you up here. Okay, I'm just going to set the scene for us, because in the reading that we're going to be having, we're cutting halfway into a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, but you need to know the context, you need to know what's going on. And so, I need as many children as I can, and maybe some grown-ups as well, to come up to be part of an army. So, new boys, you are coming. If you want to come up, if others want to come up, thank you guys, well done. Others coming up. We need an army here. Okay. Oh, well done, Samuel as well. Well done. Oh, excellent. Great. Thank you, girls. And Brent, well done. Okay, so we've got our army here. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, yeah, Kit, if you want to come up, that'd be great. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there are actually four armies. So, they say we're going to get one army, but we actually need four, so we need to split you into four. So can we go, yeah, you guys can go together. No, you can't all go together. Okay, you guys be one army, you're a fairly big army. Okay, can we have another one here? Aaron, can you go this side? So, Daniel, are you happy to go that side? And now we need to split you guys in two, so we're going to go this way. Kit, are you happy to be in this army over here? Now, okay, I'm going to tell you which armies you are. You're the armies of four nations. You guys over here, could you be the army of Judah? Now, Judah, Judah's sort of part of Israel. It kind of split off at one point, and they've split off by this stage in 2 Chronicles. So you guys are the goodies. Let's hear it for the goodies. Lovely, you're the goodies. Well done. Through no fault of your own. Anyway, you guys, could you be the armies of... I've got to get to the right chapter, 2 Chronicles 20. Wait for it. You'll find out who you are. I know, it is tense, isn't it? Okay, so... Now I'm in 1 Chronicles. It's going to take a bit longer. There we go. You'd have thought, with all that time I had before the service, I could have found the page. Anyway, right. You guys can be the armies of Moab. All right? Moab? We're good with Moab? Now, just to distinguish you from others... Just so that we know that you're the Moabites, I think the Moabites probably wore, what do we have? They probably wore hats. Okay, so we go for hats. Someone's got to wear a pink one, I'm afraid, but there you go. In splitting this up, maybe I should have thought that there should have been a lady amongst you. But anyway, there you go, so you're the Moabites, you wear hats. Well done, Luke. Draw the short straw there. Okay, you guys here, could you be the armies of Ammon? So you're the Ammonites, all right? And I'm going to think, I think the Ammonites probably wore scarves. Okay, just to distinguish you, so grab a scarf. I'm afraid there are only three scarves. So it's like Samuel is your scarf there, Ben, all right? And you guys here, now I don't have anything in here for you, but you are the... Now, I don't know quite how you say it, but it's Mayonites, or I heard someone call them the Moonites. It's a bit like mayonnaise. Could you, I don't have anything else for you here, could you take your socks off and put them on your hands? Maybe that's what it is. If you're not wearing socks, you can either defect to another army. No, don't put your socks on your head, your head's not that small. Right, so socks off, can you take a sock off at least one and put it on your hands, then we'll know that you're the Moonites or Mayonites. A shoe on your hand, that would be fine. Okay. And Mayonites, could you move around there just so that we can see everyone and what's going on? Now, the armies of Judah, we've got the goodies, and we've got three armies of baddies. We've got, who are you guys again? Moabites. You're the Ammonites, and you are the Mayonnaise. Being slightly adapting the Bible here, but there we go. Now, amongst the army of Judah, you've got the king of Judah. Well, we've got to have Brent there for that one, haven't we? King Jehoshaphat is the king. No, he's good. He's good. Were you booing? No, you go, ooh, okay. I know, he's just been elected church warden. Now he's become king. I mean, in the space of 2 weeks, he's going way up. Okay, so can we have the armies of Judah and King Jehoshaphat? Would you come to the middle here? Ignore these shoes. Okay. Now... The other three armies, you gather together and you're going to attack the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and his army, but they're not going to do it yet. So I need you guys all to gather around behind the communion rail here, over here. That's right. So, and guys, can you've joined together as an army, and therefore, could you come up with, Ben and Newell boys, could you help these guys come up with a war chant? Okay, can you just, death to King Jehoshaphat, maybe that kind of thing, just something like that. So can you come up with something and tell the others as well so that you can all shout it at once? Okay, now you guys, you're the goodies. And King Jehoshaphat here is someone who follows the Lord, is faithful to God, which is great. But news comes to King Jehoshaphat that he's going to be attacked by these three armies that we've got gathering over here. And he panics. Well, it says he's alarmed. And he cries out to God. Now let's just see whether we've got a war chant going on here. Have we got a war chant going yet?
Yeah.
Okay, can you give it a go? Okay, over to you guys then. Okay, thank you. Good war chant. So they gather, and they're just inside the territory of Judah. And you're panicking, so can you look a bit? Ah! Can we do a bit of that? Yeah, very good. But you cry out to God. And King Jehoshaphat does a really good thing. He cries out to God, and this is what we heard last week, that King Jehoshaphat did this, that he prayed to God, and at the end of his prayer he says this, O our God, will you not judge them? In other words, all these armies coming out to attack us. For we have no power to face this vast army. I mean, there are many more of them than there are of you. Can you see that? They're a big, scary bunch. And you guys, I'm afraid, you're pushing them out in front of you. And so King Jehoshaphat says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now, we're going to find out how this fight ends in a few minutes. We've kind of set the scene. There they are. They're about to attack you. You guys crying out to God to say, God, we don't know what to do, but would you help us? Our eyes are on you, God. And we'll find out how it ends in a minute. So can you guys keep your things with you, your socks and your hats and your scarves, and you guys, let's go and sit back down. Well done. We will come back to find out what happens. You could leave your shoes there. Colin won't mind. They're not too smelly. Keep the scarf. Take it with you. Now, the first lesson we learn here, which we thought about last week, is... Thank you. What do you do when you don't know what to do? And the first thing is... Turn to God. So learn from King Jehoshaphat. What did he do? He turned to God. He didn't know what to do. So he turned to God and said, God, you've got us into this land. You gave it to us. There are all these vast army coming to attack us. We need you. We can't do anything on our own. So he turns to God. Now, Christians, when you come up against a problem that you don't know what to do you turn to God? Or do you let the problem come between you and God? Do you turn to God, or do you let the problem come between you and God? The lesson from Jehoshaphat is this, turn to God and rely on him. Even if it's saying, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, that is a great thing to do. That is the first place to go.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, beginning at verse 13. This can be found on page 453 of the Church Bibles. Two Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 13 to 19. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshipped before the Lord. Then some Levites came from the Kohathites and Korahites, stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. This is the word of the Lord.
Clara, that was awesome reading. Wonderfully read. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Now, we're not going to set the scene again just at the moment. We're going to come back to the scene in a moment. But remember, in your mind's eye, think you've got Judah, yeah, and you've got King Jehoshaphat here. And you've got all the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and Mayonnaise people. But except in the reading, you notice as you go on, they're called the people of Mount Seir. Same people, all right? So you've got those big armies, and you've got Judah. And we're saying, what do you do when you don't know what to do? First thing was, you turn to God. Turn. So we say, turn, grab, go. Sounds like it might be a shampoo, but isn't. Turn, grab. Okay, second one is grab. You've got to grab God's promises. Thank you. Now, for this, we're going to need to do a little bit of work, a bit of investigation, digging into the passage. So you're going to need a Bible. All right? So, children, you're going to need a Bible. So grab a Bible. I don't know if anyone's handy able to grab. There's a little pile of them under the chair there. If you've got a Bible, great. If you're able to see one, that's fantastic. All right, and parents, if you want to just share with your children, that's fine. But you need to grab a Bible. Actually, I'll tell you what, I will grab the clicker for this, if you've got it. Here. Okay, now what are God's promises? Because amazingly, King Jehoshaphat cries out to God and says, I don't know what to do. And God answers with a promise. Well, actually with several promises, and we're just going to pick out three of them. So, here they are on the screen. There's one from verse 15, two from verse 17, and you need to try to sort of finish the sentence, all right? So parents, if you need to help your children to look into this, help them, see if you can help them find verse 15, verse 17, and verse 17, and try to fill out the answer. You can talk amongst yourselves, see what the answer should be. Look in the verses. Okay, let's see how we did. So, first one. Don't worry if you haven't managed to get through them all, but let's see if we can do the first one to begin with. So, verse 15, the battle is. Who could answer that one for us? Here we go. Ollie, go for it.
Was it God?
Yeah, the battle is. It's slightly longer than that, isn't it? You're absolutely right, though. So I put down there, the battle is not yours, but God's. Absolutely. So he's saying to the king of Judah, you think this battle is against you. You think the fight is against you. They've come out against you. This is my battle, God says, not yours. Interesting. Next one, verse 17. You will not... Let's go a little bit further back. Anyone else spot it? It can be a grown-up as well. You're allowed to have read the verses. Someone else? Further back. Yeah, go for it, Luke. It
says, you will not have to fight this battle.
You will not have to fight this battle. Absolutely right. You will not have to fight. And what about the last one? Let's go for someone around the other side. The Lord will be... Very keen, you two over here. Can you say it both together?
With you.
Very nice. Thank you very much. The Lord will be with you. So three promises that God makes. I mean, they're kind of all interlinked, aren't they? So they all kind of come together. But God says to King Jehoshaphat, the battle is not yours, it's mine. God says, you won't have to fight. You're not even going to have to fight. Now that's good news for Brent and his little army. They're not even going to have to fight. And the Lord will be with them. Now, we just need to be a little bit careful. When we're reading the Bible, really important to remember to ask this kind of question. Did God say these promises to you? You might think, well, that's a slightly odd question. But did God make these promises to you? Well, no, he didn't. He made these promises to King Jehoshaphat and his armies. So all of those promises he made to them. I'm not saying God hasn't said similar promises to us, but those promises he said to them. And they grabbed hold of those promises. They trusted God with them. They said, yes, we believe you, God. You're going to do this for us. But what promises has God made to us? Well, let me give you four promises that we can grab when we don't know what to do. When crisis comes along and we have no idea what to do, here are four promises that God makes in his word. One, he forgives our sins. When it comes to our sins, that is not your battle, that is God's battle, and he has won it. So, if your issue, your crisis, is to do with sin, where you're saying, I feel guilty, I feel helpless, I feel hopeless, because I know I've done bad things, I know I've done things God hates, that is not your battle, that is God's battle, and if we take our sin to him and confess our sin to him, he forgives us, because of what Jesus has done for us, because Jesus died on the cross for us. Second promise that you can grab hold of, he will never leave us. That's what it says in Hebrews. God will never leave us. As a Christian, there will be times where you wonder, where you think, has God left me? The answer is no. He will never leave us. Next one. In all things, he works for the good of those who love him. Romans 8. So whatever you're going through, this can be tough, this can be tricky, this can lead to a whole load of other questions, but we do know this. We can grab hold of this promise that in all things, he works for the good of those who love him. Therefore, that struggle you're going through at the moment, maybe, there is a point to it. There is a purpose to it. You may not know exactly what it is, but God does. And we've got to hold on to that. We've got to grab hold of that one. Last one. Nothing can separate us from his love. It may feel like things are separating us from his love, but they aren't. Because he promises it in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from God's love if you're a Christian. Absolutely nothing. So, those are four promises that you can grab hold of. You can't say, God has promised me that I will definitely get better, get well. I'm afraid God hasn't made that promise specifically to you. He might heal you. If you pray to him, he might, but he hasn't promised it. And if you want a little soundbite, a little nugget, I heard this, someone speaking this last week, and I thought it was really useful. They said this, faith is not me believing what I want God to do. Faith is me believing what God has promised he will do. That's a really important thing. Faith is not me believing what I want God to do. So I may want God to do this, that, and the other. But if he hasn't promised it, then I can't say he will definitely do it. He might, but I can't say he will definitely do it. And our danger is if we hang on to things that God hasn't actually promised, we may get disappointed, disillusioned, give up on God. But if God hasn't promised them, we shouldn't have grabbed hold of them in that way. But faith is believing what God has promised he will do. And he's promised these things. So you can grab hold of them 100% and not let them go. So we need to grab God's promises. And in a minute, we will see what happened when the Ammonites, Moabites, and mayonnaise people attacked. Max, again, great reading. Thank you very much for doing that. So, we've thought about turn and grab. Now, if you're not a Christian today, you might be thinking, why would people grab hold of these promises of God? Isn't this just wishful thinking? Nice idea, lovely idea, but you know, it's just sort of, it's a crutch, but it's not real. What we need to realize is actually God keeps his promises. And as we see, as we'll go through this, God utterly faithful to his promises. And as you read through the Bible, every time God makes a promise, he keeps it. The big one that God kept, the one that you can test most easily, is the resurrection. The fact that Jesus promised he would rise from the dead, and he did. We've been singing about that this morning. We've celebrated it over Easter. God keeps his promises. Therefore, it is not just a wishy-washy idea that you hold on to God's promises. God keeps his promises so you can trust them. Okay, we need our armies back. So, armies. And if anyone wants to join any army, You might know which one you want to join now that you've read the end of the story. But go for it. So we need Moabites, Ammonites, Mayonnaise people, and Judah. Excellent. Well done, Georgia. Okay. Judah. Your army. Anybody else want to join Judah?
You win.
No? Okay, fine. You get all the victory yourself. I mean, you were vastly outnumbered, and you certainly are. Okay, so what happened? What happened is this. You've got these guys with their chant, their battle chant, which is? Brilliant. Thank you very much. And then you've got these guys. They've cried out to God, and God has said, do you remember the promises? God said, you're not going to have to fight. The battle is not yours but mine, and I will be with you. So King Jehoshaphat and his people trust God in this. And what they do, as you saw in the reading, is that they say, well, look, if we're not going to have to fight, if we can trust God, then we can send out first. Who do they send out first? Did you spot? Who did they send out first? Who did the people of Judah send out first? Who was it? No, the people of Judah here. Did they send their army out first? No. Who did they send out? Someone shouted out. The singers. Now, I don't think that's because the singers were bad. And they thought, well, you know, let's send them out first. I don't think they were bad singers. But they were just saying, we trust you, God. If we don't have to fight, we could even send the choir. Not saying anything, you know, about wimpy choirs or anything. Anyway. But we could even send the choir out first, and we'll still win. So, would you all... We haven't got many here, so you're going to maybe all have to be choir. Now, I'm not going to ask you to sing out loud necessarily unless you want to. I know you're disappointed there, Brent. But they also still had to go. Interestingly, God could have said to them, you're not going to have to fight, therefore just stay at home, and don't worry about this battle, it'll all be sorted. But God says, no, you do have to go out to face them. So could you guys take the long route round? Could you go right the way round? And you can be pretending to sing if you want. Or you can actually sing God's praises if you want. It's up to you, but you might feel funny doing that. So take the long way round, not the long way via Croydon or something, but just round there. Now, while they're singing, did you hear what happened? What happened? Did you hear in the reading? What happened to these guys?
Wait for it.
You're being a little quick, but you're doing beautifully. Well, what happened? They did all die, but they died like this. Where are the Mayonnaise people? Right, the Mayonnaise people got attacked by the Moabites and the Ammonites. So, can we have some slow motion dying and being killed and death scenes? Okay, so, no, don't, you can't run away because that would be untrue to history. Samuel there got rid of them. Okay, so Ellie, you're down. Okay, and then the Moabites, that's it, just nice and slowly walking, but we're all in slow motion now. The Moabites and the Ammonites then turned on one another and killed one another. So you guys have to kill one another. Singing away. Kumbaya, or whatever it is. And we got death scenes going on. Beautiful death scenes. Can I just say, that is fantastic. Awesome. Awesome dying going on there. We got the singing coming along here, and as they arrive, singing away, lovely hymns, whatever it is, they find just dead bodies. Don't worry, they're not really, it's okay. But they found that they won, but they didn't have to do a thing about it. It's all right, Pips, they're fine. They'll spring up in just a moment, don't worry. No, that might freak you out more. Anyway, so all they found when they arrived was just dead bodies. They didn't have to fight, as God promised. They didn't have to do a thing. And they won. Little cheer for the winners? Yay! Brilliant. Thank you very much. Now look, they'll all spring back up. Spring back up. That's it. And head back to your seats. Thank you very much. Well done. Thank you for your dramatic death scenes. Feel free to leave scarves and hats somewhere around here and I'll pick them up. And feel free to put your socks and shoes back on your feet. Brilliant, thank you very much. Yeah, you take your shoes, that's a good idea. Hey! Do you see, God kept his promise. He said they weren't going to have to fight, and they didn't fight. They just went around singing, and they arrived, and there were just dead bodies everywhere. And they won. Without doing a thing. Except they did have to go, didn't they? Could you move us on? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Go. Send out the choir. Now, that doesn't mean to say you've got to raise up a choir every time you do something. But do you see, God was saying to the people of Judah, it's an interesting thing there, isn't it? That God said to the people of Judah, you do still need to go. Often people think that in trusting God, that all you have to do is just be passive. That God will just take over. But actually, very often what God says, most of the time, God says, yeah, you've got to trust me, but you've still got to go, and you will see what I will do. And now for us, that may well be in our attitude to things. That we say, look, at the moment I just can't see how God is with me, I can't see what God is doing here. But God, I'm going to trust you. And I am, as it were, going to send out the choir. Now sending out the choir means that I trust your promise. I'm going to live in the light of your promise. I'm not going to live in the light of what I want you to do. I may pray to you about that. But I'm going to live in the light of your promises. And I'm going to trust you that you are in charge. That you're in control. That you love me. That my sin is forgiven. That you will never, ever leave me. And that is how I will deal with crises. That I will turn. I will grab. And I will go and act in the light of God's promises. So we're going to pray. Just for a moment, boys and girls, just think. How do you want to respond to God about that? Because God is saying to you, in a crisis, when things are difficult, you've got to turn to him, grab hold of his promises, and go. Act in the light of his promises. So how are we going to talk to God about that? How are you going to talk to God about that? It's a great reassurance, isn't it? So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's just pray to God. Heavenly Father, thank you that not just in a crisis, but at any time, we can turn to you. But please help us when there are crises to turn to you, to grab hold of your promises that you have made to us in your word, and to go, sending out the choir, acting, trusting your promises. Father, please help each one of us to do that. Whatever our age. Amen.